Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Deep in the heart of Appalachia, guys set out on a quest to create the greatest podcast.
Sorry, dude. I thought we agreed on the correct pronunciation of Appalachia.
No, dude. We've talked about this. We've talked about this over and over and over. It's pronounced Appalachia.
Listen, freaking angels and the women got together. That's how we got Bigfoot. That's how we got vampires. That's why we got all of this stuff.
These ancient Appalachian mountains that are literally older than bones. There's old entities here. When you start finding out more about them, they start finding out more about you.
Good Lord, sir. This goose has gone rabid. And you think you're just going to run up with your little sword on the king of the goose squad?
Listen, the old entities of Middle Appalachia are unexplainable. They are eerie.
Breach.
And they are one of these things that will keep us, the hill folks, and the people who live in the area, constantly searching for answers that they probably will never ever find. And this is why we love Appalachian Intelligence.
Hello, Hill Folk, and welcome back to another episode of Appalachian Intelligence. With me tonight, very special guest. I'm super excited about this. We haven't talked Bigfoot in a while, or Nephilim. Well, we've talked some Nephilim, but tonight we're going to talk the ultimate Bigfoot show, all right? Because my guest with me tonight is Travis Carpenter. And joining us tonight, Tim Constantine of the Sixth Sensory Podcast. And spell check will get you. It is Sixth Sensory, not Sixth. So I had to go back and edit all my show notes last time I did a show with Tim, because it'll just put Sixth whether you want it to or not.
Yeah. Hey, that it happens every time, just about. Yeah, S-I-X.
Yeah. Well, how are you guys doing tonight?
Great. Brother, I'm doing phenomenal. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. This is this is very exciting, because all day long, and because I know I'll forget about it, but I listened to the episode you did on Tim's show today, and when you guys were talking about Oak Ridge and all that, And you come up with the prophet of Oak Ridge, John
Hendrix.
You know what's crazy is just the day before, I watched this show called Mysteries at the Museum. And this guy, he'll take you to museums in small towns all across the country. I mean, even big museums like in DC and all that, but there'll be these little obscure things off to the side that probably nobody would pay attention to, but he calls attention to it and tells you the great story that's behind it. And that was one of them that I watched the other day. So apparently something happened. His wife got scared, took their kids and left him.
Yeah.
And then God spoke to him and told him, go sleep on the ground for 40 days and I'll tell you what all this means. And on the 40th night, he had a dream, and there was the A-bomb and there were planes and there were all these things happening. And people pretty much thought he went to jail, didn't he?
They locked him up in a barn because they didn't have a jail. This is right. Clinton. Travis, woo! This is out there in Clinton, Tennessee.
You oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And, I do not.
So yeah, you can. Well, go ahead.
No, you guys know, so, Tim knows all these backstories of things that I'm like, and we're just all connecting all this East Tennessee lore. This is the fun part of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of great lore, and I think Well, I'll let you finish, Ryan, but I was going to say it's one of the most exciting parts here for bringing up this type of lore, I think, is getting into like your dad's story and now it's your story and just that whole research area. Because this your dad's research area is sitting plop right on top of all this crazy lore.
And we will have I've got some fun information to talk to you guys about too about that here in a little bit, but go ahead and finish your stuff.
Well, I was just going to say when you talked about Norris Lake too, and when the Smithsonian flooded that Egyptian temple that was under that, when you were hitting all the points, I was like, "Dang, Tim knows it all too," because I've been sitting on this. I couldn't remember. They had somebody from the Smithsonian that said that was in fact an Egyptian, or it was an archaeologist or something. I cannot.
Yeah, it was a guy from Oxford, I believe. I've got his name. I've got all the paperwork on it. Like, it's legit. I checked him out. This guy, he came over and he thought that it was a temple to Osiris and Isis, and therefore, Egyptian.
Yeah.
And it's hard to validate what it really was now because it's on the bottom of a lake. So
Right.
yeah.
Along with a lot of other things. And what we're talking about for those who don't know is so my dad's research area is in East Tennessee. It's East Tennessee borders the Appalachian Mountains, and where this research area is, it also borders the Tennessee River. So the Tennessee River was dammed up with several dams by the Tennessee Valley Authority, or TVA. And they used what is known as eminent domain, and they took several people's towns, they took farmland, they took a lot of things, and there's several cities also that are named after Native American sites and whatnot. But what Tim is talking about is there's a dam called Norris Dam. And in the building of that, there is so much Tennessee legends and lore and all of that. That was really, really, really just a very interesting thing, all in the name of the greater good, or power, or things like that. But there's just a lot that goes on in these East Tennessee hills. It's not just a whole bunch of rednecks, is what we say. There's a lot of the government's involved. There's a lot of very interesting things like the Manhattan Project that we talked about, Oak Ridge. A lot of secrecy is in these hills.
Oh yeah. And I know listening to these other excuse me. So I mean, and those national parks down there, missing for what David Pilatus must have a
Yeah,
heyday
man.
down there. You said he was friends with your dad.
He just
I'm a
released that American Sasquatch video that's number one on iTunes downloads right now.
Wow, I did not know that. I'm a big Pilatus fan. I don't know. I've been out of the loop. I heard when I came back, they're like, "What do you think about what's going on with Pilatus?" I'm like, "Well, I don't know what's going on. I'm just a fan of David Pilatus." So.
Listen, what's going on is there's a lot of people that Dave does a lot of good things and holds a lot of people's feet to the fire, in my opinion, and a lot of people don't like that. That's
Yeah.
Travis Carpenter's opinion. Y'all can take your, that's you can take it with a big grain of salt.
So David Pilates, I'm gonna have to go check this out. He's got a video out on iTunes called American Sasquatch. I made a note of
Yes,
that.
yeah, American Sasquatch. It's a digital download. You can do it for $20. It's also on Amazon Prime. It talks a lot. That
Is
is
your
the vi
dad's in is your
Yes,
dad's
that's the
research in
portal video.
there?
Yes, that's the portal
Yes.
video, all that stuff. So
A
if you want to
portal
go
video.
watch it, yes. So
Okay. This is
that's the
awesome
one.
because I'm sorry. I just gotta say this and I'll shut up. This is awesome because I've heard you talk about this before, where you said David's got. I'll let you tell it, but David's got some of my dad's stuff, and it's gonna make it into a documentary one day. So that's so
Yes,
exciting.
that's the portal video that's been talked about on several different podcasts. One to know one, what is it? The Ninjas or Butterflies podcast that was talked about multiple times is that portal video. When they talked about what dad had and how it was caught and all that, but that is on the American Sasquatch, the David Pilates video, and it's there. And several people have you know, we've seen it behind the scenes and whatnot like that, but they kind of, from what I'm aware of, they break it down and all that. So I'm excited because I could always talk about it and I could show pictures, but I could never really show the video of it. It's in my opinion, again, I'm very biased. It's one of the best portal videos you'll ever see. It's taken with a 480 camera, 40p camera. Dad's got it pointing behind his shoulder in his, you know, kind of, I say patented, but his back trail camera stuff. And he's walking down the trail. And as he's walking down the trail, basically this portal looks like this bubble just starts manifesting. As he walks further away, it clears up. And then a white entity that looks like a Bigfoot, like a white Bigfoot or a white, like cone-headed Nephilim, like creature, like starts manifesting and gets clearer as he walks away. Dad's taken several pictures and analyzed it. It looks exactly like the cone heads in conical shaped heads that I think it's in Peru or whatnot, or that the LA Marzulli talks about.
Oh yeah,
I mean it's pretty incredible. Again, very biased I am, because my dad took the video, and I was talking to some other people. You know, it's authentic because it's in 480. You know, with AI and all that stuff, it looks too good and all that. The cool thing about dad's stuff is it's all taken before all that, so it's like the stuff he has, you know, it's authentic because we would have made it, if we were faking it, we would have made it a heck of a lot better than what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. And you know what? Now that we're on the subject, let's just jump right into it. Great Scott Carpenter. Yep. I listened to his, like I said, I listened to his episode with Wes Germer today. So, and kind of got the feel of how his first experience when he was a little kid, when his mom was taking out the trash. And, how he's saying, he's told his mom there were monkeys on the porch, and she's like, "You're crazy. What? That's."
Yep, that's exactly the way Memaw thought. Memaw said that's you know, Chuck and whatnots. That's the way they ran it. And you know, dad ran in the old, you know, old school 70s and 80s, and you know, his buddies lived beside him, and those, that family, you know, still lives right there. And there, Memaw was like, "Oh, you know, that's that." And I remember hearing this story as a child, like genuinely, like my mother said, "Man, your dad, he has those dreams about those demons that he saw when he was a kid. And sometimes he has that nightmare." It was a reoccurring nightmare that dad would have. It finally stopped once he figured out that they were Bigfoot. Once he started researching Bigfoot in 2008, 2009, 2010, he put two and two together, and it finally, you know, probably relaxed him. But before that, I mean, so much so that, like I said, my mom had told me about that, and my mom and my dad had split when I was about 10, and she remembers that stuff.
Gosh. You know, it's got to be crazy for your dad. Think his, for the bigger part of his life, that he saw two demons. Then he's like, "Oh, it's Bigfoot. It's just two apes." Then he reads the Bible and he's like, "Oh my God, they're demons."
It was demons.
It's Nephilim.
Man, the whole switch from Bigfoot ape to Nephilim, man, that's in the Bigfoot community, that is the major fight. There's a series I'm doing and I'm reading The Truth Denied, which is my dad's recollection and retelling of the Sasquatch genome study with Melba Ketchum, David Pilates, and others. And man, it is wild to see the lengths that the scientific community will go to deny the supernatural aspect of Bigfoot. It is absolutely wild to me.
But it seems like, and they say it all the time, like the podcasting world, I have found to be a very friendly, you know, pretty much I've never podcasted with somebody or reached out to somebody that wasn't like, "Yeah, dude, let's do this. Let's, you know," and then have a great conversation. But then you find the the hardcore Bigfoot people, and it's what they believe, and that's it. You know, there's yep. no open-mindedness. It's this, and it seems that's crazy. Like, you know, I can watch. I loved growing up watching. Well, growing up, whenever it came out, Finding Bigfoot, things like that. You
absolutely,
know,
yeah.
And then you get to look, and you're like, I like Cliff a lot more than Matt Moneymaker, because that dude is just crazy when it comes. He's like, this is it. But Cliff, you know, he's kind of like, oh, it could be this and this. And
they might be coming around. I don't know. Some of these,
a lot of those guys, and you got to remember, this is 10 years ago when you know, this DNA study was taking place, you know, 2013, 14, 15. This was really fringe. You know, that Bigfoot is supernatural more than natural. It's they're, you know, it's Gigantopithecus. You had people like Les Stroud, you know, saying, hey, I want to find this Gigantopithecus. And then they're having supernatural experiences that they don't talk about for a few years. And, you know, the DNA comes out where it's like, man, this thing does not match anything that we have any clue about. But the big thing of, and the why in my opinion is if Bigfoot is a supernatural creature more than it is physical, then it's not this big fluffy creature in the woods that we can sell a whole lot of like t-shirts and stuff. And that, hey, and if you want to make money off Bigfoot, that's fine. That's fine. But I understand that Bigfoot being a Nephilim really puts a damper on those t-shirt sales. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I get it. I get it. I get it. And I have friends that do it, and I love them. And it's just part of the thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, when I say that they might be coming around, I should probably expound on that. I don't think that they all have, and certainly I don't think they have publicly, but I've heard some of these guys who are the hardline It's an Ape guys, I've heard little nuanced things in some of their talks where it's like, oh, I think they know that there's something more, but for whatever reason, they're not ready to go there yet publicly.
Well, how can you claim to be one of the leading guys in a field and be completely wrong about what you're the leading guy in the field of? You know what I mean?
Mm.
But that's like today when you guys, I've had those thoughts, those same thoughts in the conversation you guys had about Esau and how it describes, you know, she laid goat hides over Jacob so that, you know, he would feel like Esau, that, you know, on his arms. He was that hairy. Like,
right.
And I also agree with you, Travis, that the wives, and it was Ham that got punished for seeing Noah's nakedness. When you guys were talking about that, you said you couldn't remember which brother it was. It was Ham. That was
yeah. That's the interesting part. You know, going back to, and to kind of let you know, let the listeners know what we're talking about is there's a big question on like okay, if Bigfoot or Nephilim, how in the heck did they get past the flood? Which is a very good question, because what God destroyed it all. And if God destroyed it all because of the Nephilim, supposedly, then why are there still Nephilim? Why do we believe Bigfoot or Nephilim and all that? And there's a lot of prevailing theories, but one of the theories that my dad had, and I think it's pretty good, is that basically the XXXY system. And we're audio, correct?
Yes.
Or just yeah. Okay. So I'm going to try to lay this out for your listeners the best I can, and I'm not a good describer. So you have two chromosomes. A female is XX, and then a normal male is XY. If you have a Nephilim female, let's say you have a Nephilim X, and then you have a human X. And if you have a normal male, you have a normal X, a normal Y. Well, when God flooded the earth, he allowed Noah and his three sons on, and we know that they are human. It never says the females are human. So that's where, again, we're just interpreting. This is a theory. You could have a Nephilim female that the wives are. if you do the four possible offsprings, which is the boxing system, we all learned it in sixth grade science. So you have a Nephilim female, which is a Nephilim X and a human X. You have a Nephilim male, which is a Nephilim X and a male Y. You have a normal female, which is a female X and female X, and a normal male, which is a normal X and a normal Y. Well, Noah's son Ham settled in the land of Canaan, which is the promised land that the children of Israel were given by God, and Ham was the father of the Nephilim tribes. Note that Moses, under the divine inspiration of God, points out that Ham is the father of Canaan. In Genesis 9:18, the sons of Noah that went forth from the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. So it's just interesting that Dad found it interesting and telling that God thought it important to inform us that Ham was the father of Canaan, and Canaan is the geographic area inhabited by Nephilim when Israel went into the promised land. So that's kind of like why Dad thought what he thought and how he fit, and how he kind of reconciled that. Now there's the multiple incursion theory where, hey, you know, the fallen angels came back and started doing it again. Who knows? But that was Dad's theory on that.
Yeah.
All right, let me throw something in here about Ham too, because I was looking at this the other day. It's kind of fresh in my mind. It's so Noah, his son is Ham, and then Ham has Cush, and Cush has Nimrod. Ham has Cush and a guy named Canaan as well. So you've got Cush, who moves up into Egypt. They're the guys, I think, who probably built the pyramids, brought in. Cush brought in all these gods that became the Egyptian gods. Mm. So what you see here is like they travel a long way from the righteous man father Noah. This is like this is like spawn of Satan, reincursion seed. This is like, I call this the line of Cain's renewal. Like this is a bad boy lineage that pops up out of Ham. I just want to throw that in there.
They're so angry. They're so angry at God that they build that tower to basically say that it's never going to happen again. Yet, like, God can flood it and we'll have a tower, so we'll be protected. Like, heck with God.
That's Nimrod. Yeah, they said he was the most evil man in the world. You know, that's what his reputation was. He was kind of like an Aleister Crowley type, most wickedest man in the world during the ancient times.
Mm.
So, but somehow, you know, out of this line, I think we get some sort of a lost race that went rogue, went feral, however we want to put it. Like, that's kind of where I'm at with this thing, man. I don't know.
It definitely can be that. Dad thought of them as a people, as they have a people, they have a language, they have culture, they have rules, they have things of that nature. Because, you know, when Dad first brought this to my attention, the Bigfoot, I was like, Dad, are you talking about like one Bigfoot? Like what are you talking about, man? Like, what is Bigfoot doing in East Tennessee? And when newbies come to this, I say newbies, but like when new people come to this, they think of, you know, Harry and the Hendersons type of Bigfoot. And like, no, there's a lot more to it. Like, think of it almost like a tribe of people that, like, there's something more about them that's more supernatural, that's more supernatural than we're privy to. And they follow rules that we don't understand. And whatever those rules are, one of those rules is not to be on camera and not to show yourself at all costs. You can see that, but, you know, I think that we just don't know the rules to the game there. And that's the frustrating part. And anybody that says they do understand and do know the rules, they're not telling you the truth.
Yeah. The thing about, I mean, that you got the orbs to take into account, people see along with Bigfoot sightings, the mind speak. I mean, Les Stroud right there on
Yes.
television, the mind speak when he said, if you walk up here, we're right over here. And he's like, no, I'm not ready for that. That's.
What do you think about that? What do you think about Les Stroud, survivor man himself, super science, goes into dad's research area and basically has a encounter, supernatural encounter. It's like, man, I got a show to do. Discovery or whatnot's filming this. I can't tell them I'm being psychically talked to.
Yeah.
Do you see? I see the predicament that that guy's in. He's not prepared for that. What do you think about that? If you're him, what do you do?
I don't know. I guess I sit there and I think about, well, this is my career. This is what I've wanted to work for my whole life. And if I
Yep.
say this, it could all go
I'm done.
away. And I get it. Yeah, I get it. I get that. I don't know what I would do, honestly. In that
And to
scene.
go back to what Tim said about the guys that are doing the Bigfoot and they're like, hey, they're ape only, they have to think about that too. They
Yeah.
genuinely do. We have to understand that there is, I mean, they got mouths to feed here with this. And if Bigfoot's not what they say it is, man, there is a lot of financial issues that come with that. And I don't think it's nefarious. I think it's, hey, they're thinking about putting food on the table.
See, that's one of my favorite things about your dad was he didn't point it out to one specific thing. He kept searching and kept searching until he's like, this could be all kinds of different things. This,
Correct.
I think he believed it was Nephilim for sure, which I'm in that same camp. Like, even it's in the intro to this podcast. Lance says, these angels fell down and they mated with human women, and that's how we got Bigfoots and vampires and all these other things. And dogmen, your dad had a dogman
Yes.
encounter. See?
Yes. That was what really started freaking him out was the dogman stuff. But to get back, I'll touch on that. And I feel like I'm interrupting you all the time. So
No.
please. So what really was the straw that broke the camel's back per se, when it came to dad really going with their Nephilim, was the DNA evidence came out of what they were, how it was a human female and then a male being unknown, unknown of origin, absolutely, and of origin that could not have gestated, because there's tons of genes missing, specifically three major genes that are missing. So there's no way it could there's no way it could exist, but here we have flesh and blood that it does. That was one, and the other one was dad started having some issues that these things followed him home, and he was having demonic things happen at his house. He was having orbs, he was having water spirits, leave footprints on the floor. He was having the creatures over, he'd wake up and they'd be over him or in the corner, type of thing. Like you would see on, those horror movies where, that girl or that black creature's in the corner. Yeah, he would have that. And the only thing that worked, and I want you to listeners to really listen to me, the only thing that worked for him, unfortunately, for a little while, was prayer. He went to the four corners and he prayed them away. So if it were just super, or if it were just a physical creature, it wouldn't respond to supernatural things. It wouldn't respond to prayer. The way Dad put it was, I can rebuke a bear and it's still going to eat me.
Yeah.
That ain't going to work. But if I rebuke a spiritual thing, something that's supernatural, and it responds, that means it's spiritual. That means it's supernatural. So that's where he really came to grips, was you know, these are spiritual, these are supernatural, these are Nephilim creatures.
Oh yeah. And that's
or I descendants mean, of the Nephilim, yeah.
The Bible teaches us, you know, test the spirits. And it's and it may be one of those things, you know, once you go look and you don't realize that they are a part of that realm, maybe that invites these other things. You know, maybe they did, maybe the Bigfoot had nothing to do with what was going on there, but it was absolutely where he got into that realm itself.
I think you're absolutely right. One of the things that I really tell people not to do, and Dad did at the very end of his at the very end of his research, was he made a point to not go out and search these things, because you start opening doors that you don't understand. When I said that the Bigfoot or the Sasquatch, the people, they have rules and we don't know the rules. One of the rules I believe and that Dad found out was if you earnestly seek them out, they will earnestly seek you out. You give them permission and you don't want that. It is what Dad found out. You don't. I think early in Dad's research, he, you know, I get to, the fun thing is I get to go through all these videos and post them and just post some of the old stuff for a lot of folks that has like, a, you know, 100 views. It's like, look at this that Dad did like a long time ago. And one of the things that he did is he left, you know, the, big in the 2010s was paying, not paying homage, but basically giving these, giving gifts to the Bigfoot. It's like, oh, here's some apples. Here's a granola bar. Here's this, here's that. Well, if you think it's just a big hairy ape, no big deal. But if this is a spiritual entity, guess what you're doing? You're paying homage to it. You're giving sacrifices to it. And you don't understand that. You don't realize that if you think it's a big hairy ape. But if it's not, you have opened yourself up spiritually to something you don't want to.
Yeah, and you know, talking about shows like Finding Bigfoot and think they did stuff like that all the time. So yes. Automatically people are like, okay, this is okay. But you have, you know, I don't know what their spiritual beliefs are, but obviously they're not on the same page as us when it comes to these, you know, these beings. So they're just out there leaving gifts or baits or whatever. These things are smarter than they are. They're smarter than I am, for right. Sure. I mean, like your dad, I love how he come up with the back camera though. So the that was genius.
So for those who don't know, so how it works is Dad strapped a back, what he call it, the back trail camera, but basically Dad strapped a camera to his shoulder strap of his backpack. So he'd strap a camera and it was pointing backwards. And what he, the way he found that out was he's out here doing his thing. And Dad's got this Sony Handycam because, man, when I say we were poor, we were poor. Dad had remarried. I had two stepbrothers, my sister, myself, Dad. We were poor. Think about a family of six. You know, McDonald's was gourmet for us. And so Dad had this Sony camera that was probably $50. Who knows? It was expensive at the time. And he's going and he's doing all this stuff. And he puts the camera underneath his shoulder, kind of point backwards, just kind of fiddling with things. Well, he gets a Bigfoot kind of peeking out at him, looking at him from behind. And he's like, well, my gosh, let me just point it behind me because that's what they're doing. They're waiting for me to pass and then just kind of taking a little peek at me. And it's like, you know, and if you've ever been through the woods, man, if something doesn't move, you will not know it's there. Let me tell you, I could be in just like this and I just sit still and I could be 10 yards away and you wouldn't see me in the woods. I promise you. So think about a Bigfoot that's, you know, just got natural camouflage or supernatural camouflage. And they just peek out behind the thing. And Dad's got so many videos. He's got a white Bigfoot. He's got the portal like that. He's got, you know, so many other weird cryptids coming out of that. And like you talked about, he has the Dogman video. That was originally a back trail video. So a lot of crazy stuff happens behind your back.
That was such a stroke of brilliance on his part. I know I've told you this before, Travis, but man, it's like he tricked this phenomena. And I do call it a phenomena because I want to go back to something you said earlier with this whole, the abyss. Well, I call it, you know, the abyss looks back. I know everybody's heard that before, but that sort of thing where, I don't know, I just had this thought while you're talking that the gifting might open your situation up to this poltergeisty stuff in some type of a way. Because I'll tell you, you know, I feel like I've aged a lot in a small amount of time as a podcaster because of talking about this stuff. And I'll spare everybody the details, but I will say that, yeah, the abyss does start to look back at some point. I've looked into some stuff that I think is very real to the point where I've had to close the book on it for a while because things were starting to get weird. And one thing also I want to point out, you talking about him doing this application of praying to the four corners. That's good. That's a good thing to do. I've learned how to do that. You know, you got four corners of your house and you go to those corners and you pray over them. This stuff does seem to respond to that and go away for a while. So that all in all, that tells me that there is a spiritual thing happening here. And it's not just, it might be flesh and blood, but it might not just be flesh and blood.
I think, Tim, the way you said that, it might not just be flesh and blood is exactly right. You know, I find it not funny. I don't know the word I'm looking for, but I just find it and interesting, not the word either. But, man, so many people, when I really say that, like you said, the abyss looking back, you know, that's if we all got – if we all turn the cameras off, we turn the microphones off, I guarantee you everybody would have a story of, man, I started looking into this and some crazy stuff started happening. I went to, you know, I got to go to ConspiracyCon and it really was more or less like a mission trip where I'm just sitting down with people and talking about their experiences. And it's not, hey, I saw this big hairy creature. It's, hey, man, I started looking into this. And then this started happening. And this started happening. And this started happening. But I think that, you know, like you said, you say it so well, the abyss starts looking back at you.
It's, what is it, Hitchhiker effect, right?
That's what Dad called it. That's kind of what the new terminology is for it. But that, yeah. Yeah, they'll follow you home. And that's what I want to tell all the folks listening is, you know, don't go so deep in this to where you open yourself up. Like, really stay grounded. Really, really stay grounded. We're not obsessing over this. We in this podcasting realm, we want to shine a light saying, look, this exists. This is real. Pay attention to it. Be aware of it. Don't obsess about it.
Yes. Be as wise as a serpent and as gentle as the dove, just like the Bible.
Yes, sir.
But, yeah, you know, I'll tell you when we get done recording, I got the same thing going on right now, just like you said. I got the same exact thing going on right now. But, yeah, dude. So, that I'm glad you said that probably the best way possible is that I'm not out here looking for Bigfoot or Big Feet, whatever they are, but
Big Feet. Yeah.
I'm not out here looking for them, you know, and I'm just like you said, just want to make people aware, like these things, just, you know, Nephilim, demon, it's all the same. Two different words, same thing. Just stay away from them. Like you don't have to go in the woods hunting for a demon to know that demons are real. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. And it's okay to, I don't want people to hear all this too and say, man, I'm not going hunting. I'm not going fishing. I'm not going hiking. No, that is not what I'm saying, because God did not give us a spirit of fear.
Exactly.
Greater is he that is in thee than he who is in the world. So what's inside of you is more powerful than what's out there. So don't worry about that. But what we're saying is, don't go searching for them. Don't go earnestly looking for these things. Man, know they're there. If you see a Bigfoot footprint, be like, yep, they're around. Y'all get away from me. And that's the way I treat it. I'm to the point with I know this sounds crazy, but I'm to the point with these things where when I get that really scary feeling or whatnot, I'm like, I kind of get mad about it. I'm just being honest with you. I'm like, because I don't like being scared. I like, you know, I like to think of myself as a little bit of a tough guy. I'm not, but I like to think of that way. And I just get mad, and I'm like, I just get ticked off at him, and I start yelling at him, which is probably not the greatest thing to do either. I'm like, get the blankety blank away from me. Quit messing with me. Get out of here. I'll mostly say, get out of here. And it's, but I say all that to say, it's like, don't be afraid to go in the woods and spend time. Be aware. I'm not afraid of bears. I'm aware of them. I'm not afraid of Sasquatch. I'm aware of them. I'm not afraid of guns. I'm aware of them. I'm not afraid of fire. I'm aware of them. You respect what they can do, but you know how to handle it is all I'm saying. And that's where the Sasquatch Awareness Project, where Dad had it put, that's what it's out to do, is make people aware.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. So
I got to say something real quick. I'm going to jump
go
in.
Go ahead.
We jump from, I know people listening are, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what they think, but we definitely
ADHD jumped, like, to the max.
well, not just that, not only that, but I mean, we jumped from, let's talk about Bigfoot. We jumped straight to Bigfoot's real. We jumped straight into the deep end with it, and that's fine, because I can hang.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I just want to explain to people that we are three Appalachian boys. So for us, this is kind of a thing, you know, like, we don't need convincing is what I'm saying. So we jump right into the deep end with this one, but it's because I believe there's a real phenomenon out there, and I don't know what the rules are when you get out in the woods, but I have a feeling that we're allowed to exist out in those woods just like they are. And we might even have more, I don't know, more right to be out there. Like I said, I don't know what the rules are,
yeah.
But God did give us this earth. And I think if you walk in Christ and you say a prayer before you enter those woods, and maybe even while you're in there, I think you have just as much right to be there as anything else does. And I think you're protected. So yeah, definitely go out there and hunt and treat this like it's your world, because it is your world.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Bigfoot or no Bigfoot, I'm going fishing, dude. That's
yeah.
That's I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you, man.
But you know, be careful too, because there's stuff out there. I'm not saying they're harmless. I'm definitely not saying that. So
that's such a good way to put it. And like you said, we did jump right into Bigfoot or real or whatnot. It's hard for me when folks talk about, you know, wood knocks and, oh, look at this. Look at this little, you know, footprint or whatnot. And I know it's hard for me, cause I'm so far past that. But that is important. That is cool that people find that, you know, people are like, are really still in the, oh, it's just this guy in this suit. It's not real. And they start finding things that they can't explain. Like, hey, I get that. I understand that excitement. I'm just a little past it, but you know, I think that, and I'm not saying that like I'm some greater person than you are when I say I'm past it. I'm just saying that, man, there's.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
So much out there, you know, wait till you get to the deep end part and find that, like if you think a footprint's cool, just wait, buddy.
Why do you see the DNA?
That's right. That's kind of where I'm at. It's like, where do you see that there's been, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars spent in DNA stuff. And the DNA says it is something that can't exist. And we're not talking like one hair. We're talking like hundreds of samples. That's what people don't realize. Hundreds of samples over multiple states sent to 13 different laboratories across the United States. We're talking forensic laboratories that did this. This study that came out like I said, Dr. Melba Ketchum, David Pilates paid for a lot of stuff. You know, a lot of people paid for this. Man, when it finally came out, what was going on? You know, the scientific community was like, we are not going to be okay with this. And they tried everything to get it suppressed. And by the grace of God, to be honest with you, it ever got published, because we had to jump through hoops to even do that. But it's published. It's in a scientific paper. Go read it for yourself. Y'all, I can't remember the actual long name of the study, and forgive me on that. That's probably really terrible that I don't remember it. But just look up the Sasquatch Genome Project, and you can read that study for yourself and find some insane, insane conclusions that again, just science can't answer. It's wild.
I'm looking for the title right now, and there's one that popped up. Looks like Buffalo University has one, and Idaho State University has one. But when you put in Sasquatch Genome Project PDF, mm-hmm. I should say a PDF pops up. Melba Ketchum
is the North American hominin sequencing of three-whole genomes or something like that.
Yeah,
that's the study.
That's it. Yeah.
That's the official title of the study, and it's some other journal. I can't remember the name of it. And forgive me for not remembering it right offhand.
Well, this is a massive title. Novel North American Hominins Next Generation Sequencing of Three Whole Genomes and Associated Studies. I mean, there's no reason for you to remember that.
Yeah.
You can remember that.
Yeah, God, what a loop, what a dummy you are. Golly. But that's so a lot in that title, but basically there's they couldn't call it Sasquatch or whatnot because no journal would publish it if they call it Sasquatch, so they have to call it hominins. It's in North America. It's a DNA sequencing, a three-whole genomes, which means a lot of DNA. That's a lot of DNA. That's not just a hair. And you know, of course, they have associated studies and all that because they really wanted to put in what wasn't found in the DNA. That was really more compelling than what the DNA found, or what the DNA said is what wasn't found. And what wasn't found is, hey, they ran it through a dictionary place called GenBank. They ran a search engine called Blast, and they ran it through that GenBank, and nothing was found. That basically means you have a brand new species. And that species, again, with everything that we understand about DNA, couldn't exist. But yet, here it is. They have flesh, blood, DNA, saliva, all that stuff. And that's where it's like, what is happening here?
Man. So With like going back to like other podcasts that are out there, and they'll have experiences on, and then you'll hear one somebody swear up and down they've shot one of these things. I know on Sasquatch Chronicles there was a show, the guy said he killed it, and it was a juvenile. So do you think, just like, I mean, you think about that and you think of the Kandahar giant, right? They shot it, killed it. So is it, even being interdimensional, do you think there is a flesh and blood aspect that they could be injured?
I do. So the one of the big controversies of the DNA study was the Sierra Kills. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-mm.
So, Tim, have you ever heard of the Sierra Kills before, my brother?
I don't think so, man. I know about the
Okay.
Sierra Sounds, but not this one.
So there's a gentleman by the name of Justin, and I'm going to destroy his last name. It's Justin Smaje. So Justin goes out and he's bear hunting in the Sierra Nevadas. And he goes out, he sees a mother and a juvenile Bigfoot, gets out of his truck. The mother Bigfoot's supposedly waving her arms, shoots her and kills her. Okay, this he goes up and, or actually, he sees the Jew or the mother first, shoots her and kills her. He's got a hunting guide. The hunting guide's like, "What did you just do?" Blah blah blah. They start walking up the trail. Two juvenile Bigfoot come out. He shoots one and kills one of them, and the other one runs off. He says that the juvenile Bigfoot basically looks like a little African American boy covered in hair. He says the mother, or the we think it's the mother, ran off into the woods. That's his first recollection, and the story's been changed many times. But one of the big pieces of evidence that the Bigfoot study used, the Sasquatch genome study used, was basically called a Bigfoot stake, was basically a very large piece of flesh from that kill. So the problem, or the big controversy, is if just when the DNA was coming out, was if Justin had killed a human hybrid, then he's charged in California with murder. That's not that you see how where Justin's predicament is here. Okay. So, and if he didn't kill, and if it wasn't a human hybrid and he did kill a Sasquatch, he's still on the hook for many misdemeanors because he knowingly shot at a non-game animal in California. The dude's going to jail for years if it's not a bear. So there was a lot of whitewashing that happened with people that said, "You're going to say that you killed a bear. We're going to go send the samples that you gave to another lab, and it's going to come out bear." You have to understand like, you guys have to understand there's the dynamics with this. But with the Sierra Kills, that's what happened. And they did so much DNA and pulled off that state, and multiple laboratories says this ain't a bear, this is unknown. But yet one's magical lab says it's a bear, and everybody's like, "Oh, let's do this." Dad's theory was that they had Justin send something to them, and then they sent bear to a lab, so whatnot or whatnot, to kind of help them out. But that's what happened there. But I say all that to answer your question. Yes, I do believe they can be killed. I do believe they are flesh and blood enough to do that. Because that's where most of our DNA evidence came from.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Where would you be getting all this without them being some sort of flesh and blood creature? And
Yes.
then But yeah, that man, and there's some states where it's illegal to even shoot a Bigfoot. They're protected in some states now, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's
I was
Correct.
looking through
Because
that Hoopa Project book. I've got that right over here on the shelf, and it's been a while, but there were Pilates was laying out some counties up there. Maybe it was Washington, Oregon, and California, or somewhere in that area where they had these laws protecting these things.
the
Northwest.
it's if these things aren't real, it's like why in the world would you make a law protecting them? I think the way David Pilates talks is like, these folks talk about them almost like they talk about deer. It's like, yeah, they got into, they're picking my apples again. They're getting to this, they're getting to that, they're messing with the chickens. So it's just an untalked about thing with outsiders, but with people in the town, it's like, yeah, had some people met had them mess with it again. So
So they're called wood boogers up here.
Yeah, that's what they
I
call them.
believe it.
Yeah, that's what where I lived. Of course, I'm Central Tennessee now, but when I lived in North Carolina mountains, that's what some of the older people would call them, was wood boogers.
Yeah, we even got
And they would
restaurants
just,
here.
oh, that's just those are just wood boogers. You know, they wouldn't go any further. Nobody that I know is having a conversation like the one we're having today about what's really going on here.
Oh yeah.
No. No,
Well, I
I
mean, it
think
was just those wood boogers, you know, those creatures, them mountain hinds and things like that, you know.
Absolutely. And I think, also like our grandparents do have some stories that they tell you maybe around the campfire, but that's about it. And they tell you a little bit, not necessarily the whole thing. But if you get, like I said, if you get these older folks around that have been hanging out in the woods, see, that's our problem is we're, I'm hanging out and I'm playing video games all day. I don't get to go out hunting. I don't go get to go out fishing as much. The older generation, man, they were out in the wilderness. They were out in the woods. They had much more opportunities to see it. And it was just something that's like, yeah, you saw that. Let's just not talk. Oh, sweetheart, we don't talk about that. And then go on. And that's their mindset. That's what they were taught, and that's how they did it.
Yeah. I said that same way growing up, me and my cousins, my brother, it was we were up before our parents. We were out in the woods in the summer and we didn't come back until the street lights were on 9 o'clock. So and we lived in this holler and the whole holler was nothing but our family. Some my grandpa on one side, his brother on the other side, and down further hit their other brother on the rest of it. So we just took off and the holler was ours. The woods were ours. We lived there. We built cabins out there to, you know, shelters to camp with. We had campgrounds everywhere set up and fire pits built, you know. So, and not one time did I ever think about a Bigfoot or anything like that growing up. I mean, the bobcats, when they scream, they'll scare the crap out of you, but.
Buddy, ain't that the truth? Whew.
But
Dude, these loons and blue herons, they scream. They'll scare. They scare the bejesus out of me. And if
that's
no one's heard a fox scream sounds exactly like a woman like screaming bloody murder. I mean, that'll scare you to death. And that's just normal stuff.
man. We had these neighbors when I was little, the Hesses, and they had this farm and they had a peacock. And it sounds just like a woman yelling help. So there were several
Oh man.
times we were over
Some of those
there.
sounds though, boy. You know, some of them though, like some of them it's like, wait, what's big enough to make that now?
Yeah, that's the truth. That's very true. That's very true. Where it's like, oh, that's not and you have to be out there. You have to be out there and know that that's not exactly an owl. Or man, that's not exactly that bird. That sounds like it, but that's not exact. And you have to be out there to know. So it's just that one little that owl shouldn't be making that noise at this time of day. And that sounded kind of weird. You got to trust that gut. God gave you that gut for a reason. You got to trust it.
You know, that's what kind of helped me determine where I stood with this whole issue, because all this stuff happened to me when I lived in the mountains there. And I didn't, at the time, I hadn't come to terms with it. I wasn't sure. I knew what some people believed it to be, but I wasn't a believer yet. But it wasn't until later, in later years, that I heard this lady who put, I can't remember her name, but unfortunately, or I'd shout her out, but she was putting a recorder on her back porch and capturing all these sounds. And I heard this lady on a podcast, and she's from North Carolina. I remember that part. She said she was right outside of Uari, and she was getting these wild, wild sounds. And I'll tell you something, like those sounds, I recognized a couple of them from where I lived. That's what put one of the nails in the coffin for me, was hearing these recorded sounds. I was like, that's exactly what I was hearing. And this was granted, it was North Carolina still, but it was a long ways away from where I was. This was out in Uari where she was recording. I was hours from there, 4 or 5 hours from there. So for her to pick up something that sounds huge, and I mean, when I say huge, like, I remember I was at the zoo once, and a tiger was going at it. It was having a bad day. And you could hear the tiger from a long ways away. Like, we weren't even close to the tiger exhibit yet, and you could hear this thing. You could feel this thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. You feel it. You can feel those vibrations of that roar going through it. Yes.
Yeah. And that's what I mean with some of these recorded sounds. It's like, or just being there and experiencing that, like I have, and, you know, in the moment, in the present moment, it's like, there's a feeling you get from something that big. I don't know how to explain it, but.
Absolutely. You know, that goes with the infrasound and whatnot, where it's like, you know, something that big, if they even just, you know, a guttural growl, they can do it, and it would send, you know, if I could hear it, it'd send fear, not only just infrasound just popping or just making those people have those fear and whatnot. Have you ever heard of that before? People walking through the woods and they just get that terrified feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I've been there, man, where I just walk through and I'm like just randomly. And it'll be a day at like 2 o'clock, no big deal. And you just walk and you just get hit with utter fear, and it's like, dang, like what's happening? And you just kind of have to know, you have to remember in your mind, oh that's what's up. You know what I mean?
That's a sixth sense. I think we haven't, I'll just be honest. Uh-huh. I think we've got one for certain things.
Dude, we were still doing the podcast that Justin Lance and my buddy lives right up the road here. They're street light to street light. There's one little patch where there's not a lot of light. So you can still see, but you're in the dark right there. And it was one night I helped him do something. I've made this walk a million times. I'm not scared of the dark or the absence of light or anything else. And I'm walking and I get right into that patch of darkness. And it just like, actually, it hit me like there is something watching me right now.
Yep.
Like, and that I could not shake that feeling. And I just, at the time, I wasn't really in good standing with Jesus. And I was just, you know, at that point in time, I was like, I can't remember what in the world I said. Just, it's on the recording. But I did. I tell everybody I did a lot of edibles then, dude. I can't remember half the stuff we did, but I remember that. I remember. Yep. I mean, I wasn't three steps in, not even thinking about the fact that I was in the dark area.
Mm-hmm.
Like that never even registered to me. It just happens to be where I was as soon as that feeling hit. It even felt like it got cooler. That's what was weird.
Yeah.
Summer and it's warm here at night, but it felt like, and I didn't realize that until I was walking and I thought, is it cooler right here? Like, I don't know if you guys have ever walked past an abandoned mine shaft and like in the middle of the summer, you'll just feel cool air coming out of them. But in the middle of winter, you go back to the same spot, that air just feels cooler because it was like 60 degrees. But in the wintertime, there'll be steam coming out of there because it's still 60 degree air pushing out of that mine. So it'll actually feel warm in the winter. But that's how it felt. Like I walked past an abandoned mine entrance and just felt that cool, that cool breeze coming across.
I'd call that paranormal when the
Yeah,
temperature
yeah.
drops. And
Absolutely.
one more thing that occurred to me today was I don't know how long ago it was. My brother-in-law's married with kids now, but he was in high school, and I took him. We went hunting in Tazewell County, Virginia, in Burke's Garden area. And the Burke's Garden area is you go over this mountain and you drive into this valley. And then Burke's Garden is the mountain shaped like a horseshoe all the way around you. So we're on, if you're facing the opening of the horseshoe, we're on the left side of these mountains. And some property that my father-in-law, this guy he knows, we went up there, we parked at his place, and we went out. I went out past the cliffs. My brother-in-law dropped down over the hill where he wanted to hunt. And I tell him, I'm going to go out past the cliffs and I'm going to watch the ridge line that way. So I get to the cliffs, and then there's all these like offshoots into them. They're not really caves, but you could burrow back in there if you wanted to. And now Tazewell County is the black bear capital of this area. They are everywhere. And I was pretty sure I walked up on a mama with some cubs or something, because I could hear that. You ever heard a bear snap their jaws in warning, like telling you don't come any further? Okay, that's what I was hearing. I took the hint. I veered off right and went around the cliffs. Yeah,
Good
went
hint.
around the cliffs the other way. So we hunt and all this, and I hear my brother-in-law shoot. He's killed a nice little buck, We drag it up, going down the hill, and then there's this laurel thicket you got to go through. Now there's two paths, and I thought we were on the path that we took originally. But when I took that second path, it was only like a clearing into it. I mean, how can you say this? So it's like you went through this very small opening in the, you know what laurel trees are and how thick they are?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a laurel bed. A whole bed of laurels just down this ridge line. So we get through this little opening, and then it's just a little bitty clearing in this laurel bed. And the smell that emitted from that was like, I got instantly terrified because I thought there's a bear right here.
Right there, yeah.
Yeah,
Because
because
bears and them smell very, I mean, very
do.
similar.
And
Yes.
they stink, man. And I got chills, my hair standing on end, and I'm thinking, I never thought Bigfoot anything like that. Now I think, I wonder what that was, because it was like a bedding area inside, and you got the laurel trees hanging over, so it's just like a little cave inside of this laurel thicket.
And laurels are perfect. That
Oh.
actually found a bunch of one of his first ones that he got was a Bigfoot in the laurels, where this Bigfoot is kind of he's doing the whole he's not doing the back trail camera. He's doing the tramp. He's got a camera and he's kind of waving it back and forth, and he gets one in a laurel thicket, just kind of very similar to what you're talking to. He's just got it standing up, and he shows, and it's like a really great looking face and whatnot of it. And Dad actually goes and gets in it himself and shows. And again, Dad's 6'2", and this thing, the way the head is, this head's huge, and it's like 8, 9, 10 foot tall. It's incredible.
Jeez.
But I say all that to say is like that makes a lot of sense. For folks who don't know what laurels are, they're these big plants found in Appalachia, and they have these really waxy leaves. They're almost like the perfect shelter for rain or snow or all that. You can literally just chill out underneath them, and and you'll be pretty good. I mean, it has to rain hard for you to get wet. It's pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, and they're evergreen,
Camouflage
right?
too.
They're evergreen, right?
Yeah, they're evergreen. Yeah,
because it's one of the places over at our hunting cabin, which is Grayson County, Virginia. It's right above Boone, North Carolina. So it's like 20 minutes you can drive down the road and be in Boone. And there's a big section of laurels we hunt over there. We got tree stands all over. But yeah, nice. That was I know Justin and Lance are going to kill me because I never thought of that when we were doing the podcast. But it occurred to me today, you know, I was listening to Bigfoot themed stuff and I thought that memory came back for some reason. I thought, oh my gosh, I wonder if that's what now I'm not saying it wasn't a bear, you know, and the bear.
You just don't know.
I don't know. I'm just telling you, I came upon a spot that clearly looked like a bedding area. And it didn't smell like skunk. It smelled, I don't know how else to explain it besides just somebody's hind end that hasn't been washed in a while. You know, that's what it was like. It was bad.
Well, see, you saying that memory came back to you. I think that a lot of people have supernatural experiences that they just haven't acknowledged yet. Maybe whatever it was, their mind at the time tricked them or told them, no, oh, that's just something else. But I think, like, as you go through life, it's very possible that you'll remember little things like that. And some of these memories will, like, awaken or something. I don't know. I think more people have had supernatural experiences, though, than they even realize. That's just my opinion.
Justin, he always theorized that with me because longest time I didn't believe in anything like this. And I'm especially Bigfoot. You know, I wanted Bigfoot to be real, you know, because I thought Harry and Henderson Bigfoot, but not
absolutely
not demon snatch your soul Bigfoot. But it was now that I've gotten into this realm, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that. I hate that people can't see this, but I am going to show this on camera for you guys. Like, that is the picture of that Bigfoot in the laurels. I don't know if you can see that.
Oh yeah,
on camera. Oh, yeah. But you see that cheekbone and that nose and all that stuff.
Oh yeah,
dude, it's really wild. And I want to show you this real quick for those who. Again, people can't see this, and this really sucks. So people are like, what are they looking at?
Not me.
But it will be on video eventually.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. That's that laurel bed you were talking about.
Yeah, that head. And look at that head comparison. Look at Dad's head compared to its head. It's insanely huge.
Dude, it takes up that whole space.
That's a
big old pumpkin compared to
that's exactly right. And that's kind of like what Dad – like where Dad was talking about. And I am going to do a shameless plug. Forgive me. If you guys want to see all these cool pictures, you can actually get them in the book, The Nephilim Among Us. There's a special edition you can buy on Amazon. Dude, it's got everything. It's the best book Dad's written by far, in my opinion. It's got everything. And we'll get there on the YouTube channel after we read The Truth Denied. But if you want to see those cool pictures in color, you can get that special edition. Unfortunately, it's not cheap with Amazon. I think it's like 30, 40 bucks, but it's well worth it in my opinion. Go ahead. Sorry about that. That was the shameless plug.
Oh, no, dude. I plug away, bro. This will be going out on video eventually. I just don't know.
That's awesome, man. That's cool.
So you guys will get to see it eventually. I just don't know when. And it'll also be – I'll put all the videos up on Patreon when I start doing one of those. But
heck yeah.
Yeah, that – dude.
You guys have the best Bigfoot footage, man. Your family, like your dad. I mean, I say that. I tell people, Travis, I know you're here.
I appreciate that.
And that seems like something I might say because you're here. But I tell people all the time, like, the best – my favorite footage. I'll just put it that way. Which I think is
appreciate.
The best. And people can go, like, please get the book because you'll get the still images. But you can also go to the YouTube channel and see the videos too. But
yeah,
I mean,
the still images, in my opinion, are so much better than what can be put on YouTube. Right. Just because YouTube will only allow, you know, it'll only get it in certain amount of pixels and whatnot. These still images that dad captured and blows up for you, it's like, holy crap, there it is. Like, if you're looking at it on a computer screen, you're like, ah, that could be, that could not be. But man, when you get it blown up, it's like, okay, I see what's up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand where people are coming from too, when they're like, oh, that's pareidolia. And there were some first generation stuff, dad's first videos, I'm like, ah, I don't see it. I don't see this. I don't see that. And then there's some that's like, oh my God, there it is. But dad admits to you that, you know, he researched for like 10 years before he kind of is like, I'm kind of done researching. I want to just, you know, talk about things and do this and just tell people rather than research. And he tells you, like, in 10 years of research, hours and hours and hours and hours of all this, he says, I've got about 10 minutes worth of decent footage. You know, it just is what it is. You know, yeah. So if the listeners expect, hey, man, I'm going to go out there with a video camera and I'm going to catch me a Bigfoot. Good luck. I hope you get it. But it's very difficult to get these things on camera. Because honestly, like, what you see and what the camera sees too are two totally different things. Like, you can see, you know, I'm a big hunter myself. What I can see 60 yards away, and I try to pull my phone out, and it's like, there's nothing on camera. I'm like, that deer is right there. Like, I can see it clear as day, and you try to pull out your camera, nothing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's a bow shot away, and I can't get a picture of it. That's crazy, isn't it? But
it's exactly right.
Yeah, I think that the white Bigfoot footage was what did it for me. The footage, so
oh, bro.
I mean, because there's so many elements that it would have been hard to fake. First of all, because of all because he's walking, you could tell he's walking down the trail, but he's got a camera strapped to his back, so he just happens to catch. The camera cat happens to catch this thing that peeks its head up over, I don't know, a rock or something. And you can see this thing moving, though. Like, it pops its head up and it moves a little bit in the footage. That's my favorite. There it is. And this thing looks
like a still camera of it.
Gosh.
This thing looks like, I don't even know, like some sort of a monster.
It's wild. That's the blown up footage. Yeah. But man, you gotta, for the folks.
That's why the still image is good still, because like the footage is great, but when you lock in on that still image,
it's like, there's eyes. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild. And for the list, I'll probably go ahead and repost like the white big, that's what I've been doing on the YouTube stuff is like reposting it. Cause there's always new people. It's like, I've never seen this white Bigfoot thing. And I'll repost it just so people understand like, what's been out there, what's, you know, what's going on with it and stuff like that. So
that's awesome, man. That was I heard y'all talking about that earlier, and I was just taking in all this information. I was strictly staying Bigfoot today. No conspiracy, no Sam Tripoli today. That was I was sticking to the Bigfoot stories. Because I wrote down all these questions, and of course I left my notebook at work again. That was
dude.
Well, that's the only time I can do it. And technically, I'm just going to say this in case my boss is listening to this. I was not listening to podcasts at work today. We're not allowed to have a cell phone or earbuds on the work floor. It was during my break times, and when
strictly doing work.
I was welding, and that was it, sir. Or sirs. But
yes, sir.
I'll say this. I've gone down just about every rabbit hole but Bigfoot since we last talked, Travis. And I That's think awesome. maybe it's because that show was some confirmation. We had a very similar conversation to the one we just had. And maybe that was some type of confirmation for me. I think it was. I think it was because I think – because now I do just sort of lean towards, yeah, this has something to do with the Nephilim. I don't know if it's a direct thing. Like I talked about the lineage of Ham earlier. I think that stuff's interesting because it produces Nimrod and some of these nefarious evil people of history like Cain, right?
Right.
I do think that's it's interesting to look at that and map that out. And but I don't know if that's it. I don't know if that's exactly the connection, but I do feel like whatever it is, it's Nephilim. I'm leaning towards that.
And no one has the answers on exactly how or why or what. We all have theories. We all have evidence, and we all have anecdotal evidence, and also, like I said, some DNA evidence. But we really don't 100% know the hows, the whys, all that stuff. This is still, how do I put this? This is still in, we're still amateur, and I say amateur in the most amateur sense, researchers.
Yeah, I'm there. Yeah, your dad put 10 years of his life into this research. I would. That's somebody I'm going to look at their work and then look at the evidence that he's backing it up with, and not just video, photo, recording, sound recordings, but legit DNA evidence. When I was listening to some of those traps you were talking about, well, not really traps, but like hair traps, and his saliva deal with the sandpaper and putting like peanut butter and honey, and that's genius, dude. Gonna
Man, he would come up, him and that team came up with some of the most low-tech genius stuff I've ever heard of in my life. I couldn't come up with it. They're dad's got that just he's smart. The way my mother put, again, this is how I, and again, I'm very biased. It's my dad. But my mother, who mom and dad split. My mother, when I said, mom, dad's out there, he's kind of looking for Bigfoot. And this, I swear to you, back in 2009, she looks at me and says, "If there's one, your dad will find it." I kid you not, man. I kid you not. She believed it till this day. She believed him, and I want to tell that there's, and I want to tell their story, man. That. The story of dad and her is pretty miraculous. They split up and all that. And I have a pretty awesome stepdad, who been with me for a long time and supported dad and loved my dad, just as much as I did, and loved my mom too. When dad passed away, of a brain aneurysm, mom was there holding his hand. When he passed away, when we let go, mom was there. And my stepdad was also there praying over dad as he went to heaven. If that's not miraculous for God to at least heal relationships enough for that to even happen, I don't know what is, because it just, for anybody that's been in relationships, it's hard to say, "Hey, my ex-wife is going to pray over me and hold my hand as I pass, and her husband's going to pray over me too and love me and love my kids." That's a pretty miraculous thing, relationship-wise. Let me just tell you that.
I tell you, God's awesome, man. That's the kind of work
He
he
is.
does in people when you allow him to do it. And that's awesome. But dude,
Absolutely.
your dad lived in it seems like he lived an incredible life, and it was just the evidence that he's brought forward. Well, I'm 100% believer now after everything,
That's cool, man.
because I was still on the fence about all this. What is it? And then I start listening, and Lance, he'll get on to it. He's beat me over the head with this. He's like, everything's Nephilim, everything's demons. It's like, Lance, he'll just let you know.
Right.
That's what
I
it all
thank Lance a
is.
lot. Yeah.
Dude, it's well, when you think about that, I mean, why would they
Heard.
stop at Bigfoot? There's Dog Man, aliens.
Exactly.
Why are there different types of aliens people talk about? And then all these different things, but it
Hey,
feels like it.
it's easy for me to say Nephilim because I've seen so much evidence for that just in some of this, like the stuff we like hinted at, like researching East Tennessee. And I go broader than that. I'll look around and for old stuff in Kentucky and all over the Ohio Valley. But I'm telling you, they were finding these giants everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into all that. Like, I'm not trying to open that can
Oh,
of worms,
yeah.
No,
but
yeah.
that's
We
like,
don't have 5 hours for
right.
that.
But like, once you start looking in, once you get to the 600th account of pioneers and settlers digging up giant bones, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm starting to see a Nephilim connection here. Sorry.
Yeah, like, what is
Yeah.
going on here?
That's exactly right, man. And the more you talk about it, the more people become aware, the more people are actually able to share their shared experiences of these things. And if you're a listener and you've had one of these experiences, I want you to know this is like you're not crazy. What you saw was what happened to you. And don't think that you're the only one, man. Don't go in a shell about it. Talk to people because I think you'd be surprised at people that have more experiences just like you. So I just want to encourage those people that have had those experiences that they didn't ask for, by the way, that they didn't ask for, that something happened to a man. Like you're not the only one, and it's okay, and you're not crazy.
Love it.
Very well said. Well, guys, we've gone about an hour and a half. I don't want to keep you all night. Travis, I appreciate you so much coming on the
Man,
show.
the honor is mine, my brother. The honor is all mine.
And Tim, thanks again, bro. Love having you on. Open invitation anytime, Tim. When you got something you want to talk about, say, hey, bro, I'm going to come over there.
Thanks,
But
brother.
Travis, I'm going to let you start. Just go ahead and plug everything you want to plug, YouTube channel, the book, everything.
Man, if your listeners would, I'd be so grateful if they would follow the T Carp channel. They could find me there. That's my like. I love bushcrafting. I love hunting, fishing, all the outdoor stuff. I love prepping and talking a little politics, which is probably not what I should do, but I love it. That, and I love. But you can find a lot of the Bigfoot, the Sasquatch stuff at the Sasquatch Awareness Project or the Scott Carpenter YouTube channel. If you Google those, you will find me. And then books, man. Right now I'm reading The Truth Denied. We're gonna start reading The Nephilim Among Us. And if you would like a great little small book, man, you can get the Sasquatch Awareness Project. And that's like a good $10 book, $20 book, I think. And it has everything really compressed in there, and it's pretty good. And I really, really like it. So thank you, buddy.
Tim.
Well, this was great, fellas. I vouch for Travis. I mean, he came on my show. He's a great guy. Both of you guys are great guys. I know both of y'all now. You're both friends. So this was just so fun to get here and talk with you guys, man. And but yeah, so I'll just wrap it up and say my plugs. And I do want to add that, I didn't think out the title of my podcast very well when I it's easy to sort of confuse it with other words. So so it's the Sixth Sensory Podcast, and I spell it out SIX. And you can find me on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, and Instagram, and Patreon. And this was just so much fun. Thanks for having me on.
Once again, thank you guys for coming on. Hill folk, you know what to do. Go subscribe to these YouTube channels. Go subscribe to Tim's show if you haven't already. And share these shows with your friends, family, coworkers. That helps us grow more than anything. It's just sharing it with friends and family, whoever. Just put it out there for the social media verse and let somebody else pick up on us. But until next time, we'll see y'all later.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.